for our study tonight, I want to consider a problem that I believe has plagued Christians ever since the early church was established. It is something that is still seen today. Its effects are seen in both preachers and elders, in deacons and in teachers, in all members of the Church of Jesus Christ. It doesn't discriminate against age. It happens both to adults as well as the teenagers or younger. And it happens both to men and women. And that is the problem of growth, or lack of growth. I want us to look at some passages of scriptures that can help us understand this difficulty and learn some things that we can see from scriptures to overcome this. I invite you to turn in your Bibles first to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, let's read verses 11 through 15. The Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesian congregation, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. In particular, as we think about these things, notice verse 13, that the goal of perfection is there. Perfection of becoming a full man, as the New American, the American Standard renders it in verse 13, to a perfect man, to a full-grown individual. In verse 15, that we may grow up in all things unto him. And so the contrast that is made here is the idea of both children and mankind, children and men. Paul is exhorting Christians that they should be growing into that full, mature individual, that grown man. As we think about that, what I first want us to realize is that we have a responsibility as Christians to grow. Stated here in Ephesians chapter 4, but I think we can find this also in other passages of scriptures, just like God expects, or like parents expect their children to grow, both physically and emotionally, God wants his children to grow. Let's turn over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 11. What we're going to notice in the words of the Hebrew writer is that there is a time in which he wants to go on and say some things that are a little deeper. He wants to discuss the things about God's high priest, but he takes just a pause, maybe a little digression for just a moment to describe some things because of their level of maturity. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 11. In whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. These Hebrew Christians had become dull of hearing. They had gotten to the point where they were unable to teach, although the writer indicates that there, some way or another, they should have been able to teach, both whether it's publicly or privately. They were at the stage, should have been at the stage, where they were able to teach, but they were unable to do so. These Hebrew Christians had a diet of milk. Milk is what is needed for those who are babes in Christ. these individuals should have progressed to the point where they were partaking of the meat of the Word of God. We see the responsibility, the necessity of Christians growing. These Hebrew Christians hadn't done that. And so then we get to chapter 6 and verse 1, where the writer tells them that they should go on to perfection. Therefore, leaving the discussions of the elemental principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Let us go on to perfection. It reminds me of a couple other passages of scriptures where we understand the need to, we should progress to the point where we leave the milk of the word, where we progress on past that. We go on into perfection. Paul writes to the Philippian brethren, we've studied in our Sunday morning class, in Philippians chapter 3. He says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us go on to perfection, the Hebrew writer describes. That's the exhortation. Let us go on. We should be growing. We should be maturing. We should be learning. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. In him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. This idea of perfection is not that we're never going to sin, not that we're ever going to get to the point where we have reached perfection and we do not sin. This idea of perfection is mature, grown. We have a responsibility as Christians to grow. Let us go on to perfection. Now, if we continue on in the book of Hebrews, one thing that we need to understand is that if we're going to go on to perfection, then we're not laying again the foundation. But in that statement, we need to recognize that the foundation's got to be there to start with. We're not laying it again. Why? Because it's already been laid. There is a foundation for perfection. There is a foundation for completeness. Principles of the doctrines that are found there. Repentance from dead works, or the turning from works which are going to produce spiritual death. The Apostle Paul describes this back in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We want to turn from those dead works. That's what repentance is. Not only part of the foundation of repentance, but also a faith toward God, a belief in God, a belief in his promises. Later on in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of him who diligently seeks him. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we understand that it's faith in the word of God, it's the word of God that produces faith. When we hear the word of God, so then hearing Romans chapter 10. I had it in my head earlier. I got it confused with chapter 10 and verse 10 earlier, but I put it in my head. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's part of the foundational aspect. Faith toward God. Also notice that he mentions the idea of doctrine of baptisms. Now, like we talked about in our Wednesday night class, and I realize some of this is things that we've already gone through with Brother Joe in the Wednesday night class, but to recognize that this is a foundation that has to be laid if we're going to go on to perfection, whether this doctrine of baptism is the difference between true baptism or the ritual washings of the Jew, of what the Jews call baptism, or is the act of immersion that brings one into the church, the body of Christ. No matter what it was for them, what it is for us is a recognition. It's important for us to know that there is one baptism, just like the Word of God teaches, and the practices of men versus the practices of men that are called baptisms today, whether it be sprinkling or pouring or things of that nature. Those aren't baptisms according to God's Word. We need to understand what the true baptism is. He goes on and talks about the foundation of laying on of hands. Laying on of hands, the things that were performed by Jesus and others for healings and for blessings. The apostles had the ability to impart the Spirit. Or maybe it's the leaders that would appoint different individuals to serve. These are foundational principles, the resurrection of the dead, which is the central theme of the preaching of the apostles. The resurrection of the dead starts with Jesus Christ. His resurrection from the dead and our resurrection from the dead. We can be made alive. And eternal judgment. This is stressed in many other passages of Scripture, too, that I'll remind you of in Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. There's coming a judgment. The Bible makes that point very clear. So let's make sure we understand where we're at. We have instructions that we're to grow. We see an example here in the book of Hebrews of some that had not been growing, and they were exhorted that they should go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. And we're making the point, we're realizing the fact that that foundation is essential and it has to be there to start with. When we understand these basic truths, understand that it is but a foundation. It's the beginning of spiritual growth. Sad to say that there are some that have stayed at that stage. Seems that they keep laying the foundation over and over and over again. Thus, the reason for the Hebrew writer to say we must go on to perfection. Think about a house. Think about somebody who's going to build a house. How many times do they lay the foundation? Once. And then what do? They add on top of that. Now, part of the foundation, they're going to make sure that it's secure, that it's strong, that it's able to hold the weight of what's going to be on top of it. This is not a strange illustration to think about when we're talking about the building of God. When we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that's the illustration, that's what the Apostle Paul uses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. The foundation's been laid, we've got to go on to perfection. We need to move on, not laying again the foundation. Quit doing the same thing over and over. We go back to the book of Hebrews. After encouraging those writers and encouraging us to go on to perfection, the writer then warns of the dangers of not going on to perfection. What happens if we don't move on? What if we just let the house sit with just the foundation? We don't add anything to it. Well, we look at verse 4 and 5 of Hebrews chapter 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify again themselves for the Son of God and put him to an open shame. This person who was once enlightened, who has tasted the heavenly gift, an individual that is a partaker of the Holy Ghost, has tasted the good word of God, has the powers of the world to come, we recognize that a danger of staying with just that foundational level is that they can fall away. They can become such that it is impossible to renew them again. I'm not saying that they can't be renewed at all if they will repent, if they will take action and recognize, hey, I've been laying the foundation over and over. I've not gone any further than that. I've stayed in that one state. I've not grown. I've not gone on to perfection. But there's a real danger of that individual falling away. The writer does not seem to suggest that these readers had gotten to that point, but rather a warning of the possibility, letting them know this is what's going to happen if you don't go on to perfection. I think it's an effective warning. It's an effective warning like telling individuals that drinking arsenic, if you drink arsenic, it could be fatal. Why do you tell them that? Because you don't want them to. Not that they already have, but you're warning against it. And so the author of Hebrews is doing that for these individuals and for us. If we keep laying the foundation, if we stay at that foundational stage, if we don't go on to perfection, this is a real danger. But just as sure as the destruction of those who fail to go on to perfection is the blessings that are provided, the blessings that will be given to those who will grow and mature. Continue on in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. One of the blessings is that God is a just God. To realize, to know that God is not an unjust individual, that he's not going to give say one thing to one individual and say something else to another individual. He's going to be just and fair and impartial in his dealings with mankind. God is a just God. God is one who does not forget. He is aware of our service in the past. He is aware of what you've done in his name. He's aware of what you've done for the saints. And he's even aware of our present service. He knows where you are, but he wants you to go further. He wants you to grow. He wants you to go on to perfection. I think there's greater comfort in knowing that God sees and he knows our efforts to serve him. In contrast to every sin blotted out and remembered no more in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, our service rendered in love to God is not forgotten. He understands. He sees the efforts that we're making. And there's no need to fear that God doesn't see our efforts to be pleasing to him. Remember, our work and our labor is not forgotten. He knows of our work and our labor. Thus, the desire of the Hebrew writer. In verses 11 and 12 of chapter 6, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Show that same diligence till the end. You've been working. You've gotten to this point. You need to press on further. Give the same diligence toward the things that are yet to come that you've given to the things in the past. If we put the same amount of diligence in the laying of the foundation, if we put that same type of diligence into building the house, imagine what can be constructed. Imagine what can be erected there. Don't stop. Don't become sluggish. Don't slow down. He wants them to have faith. He wants them to have patience. And those that do will inherit the promises. He gives the example of Abraham in verses 13 For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. This is no different for us. If we will see that we need to grow as children of God, it starts with the foundational principles. Let's make sure we have those good. That our foundation is solid, that it's built, and then add to it. We think about ourselves. We think about, what if we were the audience that the Hebrew writer is writing to? Is it described? Would we be described as dull of hearing? I'm trying to make this personal and think about it today. Is the Bible dull? It's something that we can read. And if I understand it correctly, those that are in the know have suggested, if I'm remembering correctly, the Bible is written on an eighth grade level. It's not anything in there that we can't read who are grown, who are children of God. But is it dull to us? Are we more interested in what the newspaper has to say or the latest and greatest author? Has the Bible become dull to us? Are the Bible classes dull? Do you think that the sermons are dull? I realize I do play a part in some of that. And I took it as a joke that someone told me this morning that I didn't fall asleep. And I get all those jokes. I've been preaching long enough to know. What's our take on hearing the Word of God? Have we become dull of hearing? Maybe you listen to those things, those individuals who are going to tickle your ears. If that's the case, then you're subject to being misled. Are we teaching others? Remember that he told these people that you've become dull of hearing. You should be teaching. What about us? From a public standpoint, if you're able, are you taking those opportunities? Privately, with home Bible studies, engaging in conversations with co-workers and such, are we going on to perfection, or are we like these individuals, these Hebrew Christians, dull of hearing and not progressed very far? What do you feed on? The writer tells these individuals that they're partaking of milk. You have come to need milk and not solid food. What are we feeding on? Are we repeating the same milk of the word over and over and over again? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we can't study the milk of the word from time to time. I get that. Big glass of milk at night, a few cookies or so. It's not that I'm going to stop drinking milk because I've grown up a little bit, but that's not going to be my diet. That's not all I'm going to do is eat milk and cereal all the time. Have we progressed on to the meat of the word? Are we digging into that harder parts of the Bible? Digging in to figure out some of those things that the Apostle Paul writes. Remember, Peter said that some of the things that Paul writes are hard to understand. Not impossible, hard to understand. Those are some of the things that we might understand as the meat of the word. Where's our focus? On the milk of the word or on the meat? What are we feeding on? We need to recognize that there is, in fact, the possibility of falling away. If we're not progressing on, if we're not going on to perfection, if we're not going forward, eventually gets to a point where we may not be able to return. The Hebrew writer says, go on to perfection. I ran across an illustration that I want to close with. There is a person who had been a teacher for 25 years. They heard about a job opening, a promotion that they applied for the position. And after the interviews took place, they learned that someone who had been a teacher for 1 year got the job. She asked the administration, "Why is that? I've been teaching for 25 years, and here's one person who's been teaching for 1 year, and you give them the job." The administration replies, "I'm sorry, but you haven't got 25 years of experience as you claim, but rather 1 year of experience 25 times. Not grown. Didn't move on. Didn't go forward. Far too often, I think that Christians, whether it be preachers, elders, deacons, Bible class teachers, members, male and female, young and old, we may find ourselves repeating the same spiritual grade over and over. Wherever we find ourselves, we need to understand we can do better. Wherever we find ourselves, we are to strive for perfection. We're to grow. We're to progress forward. A good way to think about whether that's occurring is to think back where you were 5, 10 years ago. And if you honestly and seriously look and go, "I don't know that I'm any different than I was 5, 10 years ago," you might need to think about whether you're progressing forward and growing as a child of God the way God wants you to do. If we're not striving for perfection, if we're not growing, if we're not maturing, there's danger and even death awaits those who do not. But God has promised blessings for those who will patiently endure, for those that will keep on keeping on, going on to perfection, realizing we're never going to obtain it, but that's our goal. Just like the Apostle Paul, pressing on. Is there anyone here that would think that the Apostle Paul was not growing? Here's an apostle of Jesus Christ. Here's a man that in a lot of ways is put up on a great pedestal as a man of God, and rightly so. But what does he say he's doing? "I'm pressing on. I'm moving forward." He doesn't want to stay still, and he certainly doesn't want to go backwards. What about you and I? There may be those in our audience this evening that need to render obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the time and the opportunity. If you recognize that the scriptures make it very clear of what you need to do in order to become a child of God, if you're willing to confess your faith in Christ, you're willing to repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins, you can become a child of God. You can be born into the family and begin growing as a child of God, growing as a Christian. But as I look over the audience tonight, there may be those here tonight that realize, "I'm not growing. I'm not trying to move on." We need to heed the encouragement. We need to heed the exhortation to go on to perfection. Stop laying the foundations. Foundations are good. They're profitable. But we need to be building on top of that. If you realize that's not been you, think about where you are before God. Ask God to forgive you of that and start going on, growing as a child of God. And if we can assist you in some way, we bid you come as together we stand and sing.